The presentation should be on the council laptop, so as soon as that's ready.
Whenever you're ready, Andy.
I think Terry was going to give an introduction.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just going to give a little lead into Andy. All this skate information is behind tab 13 and at the table. There are five documents in there. And the Skate APA and committee have not met since last council meeting. However, the SSC, at their request, the PDT met on March 8th and reviewed the fall 2008 skate survey indices. The PDT found no scientific justification to exclude the indices from the ABC calculation, and the ABC was, as Steve mentioned, recalculated from 30,643 to 41,080 metric ton. The PDT updated the possession limit model and discard estimates and evaluated the skate wing possession limits. And this update allowed the TAL to increase up to 14,277 metric ton. So based upon the updated possession limit analysis, the PDT has developed a range of wing possession limits for the council to consider this afternoon. These range options range from 2,200 to 5,000 pounds. And following Andy's presentation, the council is first going to need to consider the wing possession limit and then to request an emergency action to revise the 2010 ABC, ACT, and TAL, as well as any other adjustments to the skate wing possession limits. And we're also going to need to consider initiating an action to adjust the specs or make other changes for the 2011 and 12 fishing years. So we'll have either the option of moving ahead with a specification process change, or if in the council's deliberations this afternoon, are there any other management modifications, we'll have to initiate a framework. So I've got, because there's no committee motions, I've got some on the queue to follow this afternoon's conversation after Andy's presentation. So thank you, Andy, and thank you, Steve.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to give a very brief presentation, just hitting the high points of the PDT's work and the PDT's advice and recommendations. All of the information is contained in documents 3 and 4 behind in your binder. So if there are questions concerning the Amendment 3 structure and how these decisions pertain to Amendment 3, or details about the model, please ask a question if you don't understand it, because I'm not going to go into that kind of detail during the presentation. As was just reported to you, the SSC approved an increase of the aggregate skate ABC, which is a holistic multi-species ecosystem approach, to 41,080 tons. And if you apply the ACL framework, which was approved in Amendment 3, to the other parameters and limits, it provides an ACT of 30,810 tons. That allows for a 25% reduction to account for scientific and management uncertainty. When we reduce the discards the ACT by the amount of discards that were assumed or presumed based on the rate for 2005 and 2007, it leaves a total allowable landings of 12,638 tons. 66.5% are allocated to skate wing fishery, after deducting 3% for state water landings, and 33.5% to the skate bait fishery. These boxes moved down somehow in the presentation, but so that's where we started out with after the SSC meeting, and the PDT was asked to look at the skate wing possession limit which is a technical measure to achieve the TAL in combination with limits on day at sea use and the number of vessels. This is a little more difficult to see from this distance, but the PDT, you have this in your handouts as well, looked at the discard rates and updated discards for 2008 and a preliminary estimate for 2009. Updating the three-year discard rate for 2006 and 2008, more of the catch was converted into landings, and therefore the discard rate, the proportion of discards to total catch, declined. That allows us to allocate more of the total catch, or the ACT, to the TAL rather than discards. So that allows an increase of the TAL from 12,638 tons on the first line to 14,277 tons on the second line. The 2009 data is partially available but incomplete at this time. We did, however, do a preliminary analysis based upon discard rates from January through November and a slightly different stratification process, and the discard rate didn't continue to decline but went up a little bit. That may change somewhat with the 2009 data when that becomes available. If you put this in perspective and apply the ABC control rule through the historic time series and compare that with landings in the blue line and total catch in the orange line, you see that the total ABC increased from 2007-2008. In 2008, the catch was somewhat less than the ABC, but the preliminary estimate for 2009, that the total catch was just about right at the revised ABC. The landings are somewhat above the TAL. In fact, using these figures, there was 27.5% above the TAL. So, using those figures, and if we did a specifications process, the TAL would go up, all those limits would go up, and we were asked to look at and revise and update the possession limit model. And I put up a couple of graphs just to demonstrate how this model operates a little bit. This is just some of the data that's in the model. There's about 8,500 trips from 2009. When you apply a possession limit to it, in this case it's 3,200 pounds wing weight, and I apologize that the values on the left are in whole weight. It's just an output of the model. Trust me, it's 3,200 pounds. The landings are represented in blue. The reduction in catch is represented in yellow. However, the position limit model looks at trips individually to determine whether the catch of other species exceed the estimated cost of fishing from data collected in the sea sampling program. And for trips that other species are caught and exceed the fishing cost, the model assumes that the fishing continues and the excess skates are discarded. Those dead discards are represented in red. So, using the process that was used in Amendment 3, the amounts represented in yellow, we iterate the model to the point that the possession limit produces a percentage reduction represented in yellow equal to the desired reduction in catch. There is, however, another way of looking at it, and one is to say that those discards represented in red shouldn't be counted against that reduction, the desired reduction, and goes into the discard pool. But there's no way of accounting for that ahead of time in the specifications. Here's another example using gill nets. You'll see that more gill nets, especially in the upper end of the range, target mostly skates, and the model assumes that those trips would stop fishing when the daily catch reaches the possession limit. So that's the way it works, and we can iterate that model over a wide range of possession limits, in this case ranging from 1,900 pounds to 10,000 pounds, to estimate a mortality reduction. And what's represented in the box is a value that represents a 27.5% reduction in not just the landed catch, but net of discards, and achieves that reduction. The discards are also represented like this, and you can see, as you would expect, that as a possession limit is reduced, you get a higher amount of discards. These discard rates are represented in terms of these are represented in terms of total landings, and the table is represented in terms of the total catch. So I'll get that in the next slide. This table is a little bit hard to tell from here, but you also have a handout. This table is in the PDT document as well. You see that the way to read this table, if you look at the bottom line, all skate trips, there were 465 vessels in 2009 that had trips which landed at least 1 pound of skates. There were 7,933 trips. The gross revenue from all species for that trip was $41.9 million. The net revenue, less the estimated fishing cost, daily fishing cost, is $29 million. And the gross annual revenue from skate wings was $4.4 million. I should say this is from the wing fishery only. In comparison, if you look at the line from 4,100 pounds, for example, it produces a 23% reduction net of discard, the additional discards, which are 2.1% of the catch. 2.1% of the catch is about let me see, 5% is 4%, 4 million pounds. So about 1.5 million pounds of skates is represented in that number. At 4,100 pounds, there would be 116 of the 465 vessels that had one or more trips above that possession limit. And there were 756 of those 7,933 trips which were above the possession limit. If you applied the possession limit, the gross annual revenue would be reduced from $41.9 to $37.3 million. The net revenue would be reduced from $29 million to $25.8 million. And because the trips that are above the possession limit typically are the ones that are targeting skates, and that was by design in Amendment 3, the reduction in skate revenue is from $4.4 million to $3 million at 4,100 pounds. I'll get to the reason for some of these other values in the table in the next slide, but point out 3,200 pounds represent a 27.5% reduction relative to including net of the additional discards. And 500 pounds represents the incidental possession limit, which could be invoked by the regional administrator if it appears that, A, landings have exceeded 80% of the TAC, and, B, the fishery is likely to exceed the ACL by the end of the year. The PDT did not offer a single recommendation, but rather several, depending upon how you look at this issue. They range from a possession limit of 2,200 to 2,400 pounds, which was calculated on the basis of a possession limit that, if the fishery operated as it did in 2009, would reach the 80% trigger by the end of the year. We recognize, however, that there are various factors that the fishery could operate differently. One is sector management, in which vessels may have more days at sea to target skates if they're not using the days at sea to target ground fish. Another is that vessels with a lower possession limit may take shorter and more frequent trips than they did in 2009. A third might be, with a possession limit, some of those trips might not occur at all, and they might target other species rather than skates. 3,200 pounds was estimated as a amount that would reduce mortality that was formerly associated with landings by 27.5%, which was our estimate of the change from 2009 landings to the TAL, the proposed TAL. 4,100 pounds is the amount that would be justified on the basis of not accounting for the discards within the reduction in the possession limit, but accounting for it in future changes in the discard rate, which would be applied to future TALs. And lastly, the PDT offered 4,500 to 5,000 pounds, calculated to exceed the TAL by a little bit. I think it was 105 to 110% of the TAL, because in reality, the possession limit is really a technical measure. You could choose something as you did in Amendment 3 when the ABC was reduced but the possession limits were not changed, that is higher than justified just on the basis of this possession limit model calculation. There are various pros and cons which the PDT identified in the table in document 4. I encourage you to look at that. Push the wrong button. And then finally, there are several potential actions which the council could entertain today. One is the Amendment 3 rules are expected to go in place by May 1, very shortly. The council could entertain a emergency action request to take effect as soon as possible to adjust the ABCs, the TALs, and or skate wing possession limit for 2010, and that would be in effect for 360 days. As a follow-up, the council could either initiate a specifications process, which would take less time and resources than a framework adjustment, but might entertain fewer alternatives than a framework adjustment might entertain. Both of these could be done to go in place for a 2011 fishing year. There is also a fourth alternative open to the council, which is an amendment, of course, which might entertain a wider range of issues, but it is very unlikely that that could be developed in time for a 2011 fishing year. So that's my presentation, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Terry?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Andy, could you go back to your previous slide, please? And could you elaborate on how the additional discards on the 4,100-pound option are going to be dealt with in the future TAL specs?
Other things being equal, no other changes, the additional discards would be re-estimated, the total discards would be re-estimated, and would be factored in setting future TALs. A greater amount would be deducted from the ACT to be allocated in future landings. So that's one sort of trade-off. The other sort of trade-off that you may want to consider is if the fishery reaches the 80% level early in the fishing year, under Amendment 3, the regional administrator would be authorized to reduce the possession limit to the incidental limit of 500 pounds, which in itself increases discards considerably more than 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. So there's a bit of a trade-off and a consideration to make in terms of making this judgment.
David?
Yeah, Andy, there's not exactly a linear relationship between landings and discards. In other words, if we increase the possession limit, we don't decrease the discard amount by an equal amount. And I had a couple questions about that. I mean, first of all, with the prohibited species, you're still discarding all of them because you can't have them, so that doesn't change. The second is, on the assumed dead, now, do we assume 100% of all discards die in this case?
No, the SSC approved an assumption of a 50% discard mortality rate.
Okay, so my second question would be, it's across gear types then? It's just a flat 50%?
For all gear types.
Okay. And then the other question I had is, based on the previous graphs you showed, that there's a very few number of trips that have a very high amount of landings. At some point, there's a number of trips when we have a possession limit that are unaffected. In other words, since they're below the possession limit, they're unaffected by these actions. So at some degree, we're constraining a small amount of people to catch a large amount of fish. Is that correct?
Yes, that's consistent with setting a possession limit, which was intended to affect mostly the directed fishery. And to look at that effect, you might look at the table number in the document four, but it's also in my presentation, this table here. That goes all the way up to 10,000 pounds.
Okay. I think this is what we've got to zero in on here is in setting a landing limit that covers as many of the trips as possible. Therefore, it doesn't increase the discards any more than they were already discarding. And then in changing the behavior of the directed people to fish below that limit, so that in essence, we're going to change their discard rate as well, so that the total amount stays at the number we need to stay at. And basically, that's the part I'm having a hard time understanding here, is where that trade-off is going to occur.
Yeah, I think there's one additional element or factor that you need to factor into your thinking, is that with the higher possession limits, there's also a greater likelihood that the vessels will continue fishing for skates but change their fishing behavior, which is or profile, which is different than 2009. They might make more shorter trips to compensate for a trip limit. And that's not something that that behavioral change is not something that's embedded in this kind of modeling.
Okay, so what you're saying is, let's say we had a trip limit of 4,000 pounds and it was economically viable for somebody to run out and catch 4,000 pounds, they'll go do that more often than they would if the limit was, say, 500 pounds, which wouldn't be economically viable to go out and run back and forth, something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, this model, what the model says is if a trip in 2009 landed 8,000 pounds and it was economic for that vessel to make that trip at 4,000 pounds, the model says that the trip makes a shorter trip 4,000 pounds but doesn't take another trip or a second trip with 4,000 pounds and still catch that 8,000 pounds.
Okay, I think. I got to think about it for a while. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Just a question about this table, Andy. See if I understand it correctly. At the bottom, it says all skate trips, numbers of vessels 465, number of trips 7,933. Is there 7,933 trips in a given year?
Yes, 2009 trips landing wings.
And there were 7,900. And so when you look at number of vessels and you look at the different possession limits, if you take 4,100, for example, and you go across, it says 116. So I'm thinking two-thirds or better of the 465 would not be affected if you chose that option. Is that the right way to read that?
That's a correct interpretation, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else? Go to the audience. Jeff Callen. And thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin from Lunds Fisheries. I'm just wondering, apparently the PDT is not making any recommendation to increase the bait skate possession limit that was set at 20,000 pounds in Amendment 3, as I understand it. I wondered if it would be appropriate to consider increasing the bait skate possession limits at least to an amount that would be equal to the increase in the skate bait TAL that the PDT is recommending, which I think is 25%. And that would, you know, just doing the math, might bring, at least according to the numbers on the thing, would bring the bait skate possession limit from 20,000 pounds to 25,000 pounds. Does that make any sense to anybody around the table? And I wondered why the PDT didn't make a similar kind of recommendation, and this just focuses on the wing limits. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I can elaborate on the last question that Kevin asked, is that the council did not select a skate bait possession limit to achieve a TAL or to produce a percent mortality reduction. In fact, had we done so, had we applied alternative 3B to the bait fishery, as we did with the skate wing fishery, the possession limit would be much lower than 20,000 pounds. In fact, the council approved alternative 4, which is a three-season quota management system to the bait fishery. And at the final vote, the industry advisors from the bait fishery came to the table and asked for for a possession limit, which might slow the fishery down a little bit and keep vessels from making very large trips as the landings filled the seasonal quota. So it was on a different basis, and so that's why we didn't go through and look at a different possession limit for the bait fishery.
Dan? Danny?
Did you hear me, though? Right. I'd just like to read a statement, if that's okay. Now that there is a control date of July 30th, 2009, I'm requesting that the council incorporate to the frameworks of the Northeast Skate Committee Complex Fishery Amendment 3 a history-based criteria to participate in the skate bait fishery. I'd like to touch upon a few points. One, skate bait has been consistent with landings from 1998 to 2009, averaging around 5,000 metric ton per year. This amount has supplied the lobster industry with an adequate amount of little skate to meet its demand. This delicate balance of supply and demand has never put substantial effort toward the little skate biomass, never landing it in the overfish category. This is why it is necessary to have a history-based criteria to participate in the bait skate fishery. This criteria would ensure constant supply and effort, preventing overfishing of this particular skate species. Two, the three-season quota should remain. And number three, the 20,000 pound per day limit should be increased to 35,000 so that the boats that are participating in the skate bait fishery may choose to go once a week, saving on expenses, thus making it more economic sense. And in closing, from all the data that is available from the little skate, if a history-based criteria was implemented, business could remain as usual and not present any added hardship to the historical participants of this fishery. Thank you. Thank you.
Richie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich Canaster, Whelan City Auction. What Andy subscribed to, I believe it was David, about 2 4,000-pound trips being more economical than a 1 8,000-pounds. We're going to have skates at $2 a pound to make that work, and that's unfeasible. But my question is, the effort that's going to be in the skate fishery as far as multi-species. You need a multi-species day at sea to go for the skates. At least in the sectors I see in New Bedford, we're going to have a 50% reduction. It's shown as of today that one sector, 50 vessels, 25 are fishing. The other 25 are at the dock doing nothing. Is there any consideration, or was there any consideration as far as the effort being reduced of 50% of the boats fishing that mostly target skates out of New Bedford, while 50 are going to stay at the dock or be dry dock? That's my question. And if anyone can give me an answer, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich. If Andy or Terry want to address that question, feel free to. Okay. So we'll come back to the council. Rip. Ted.
Ted Platts, monk fisherman from Newport, Rhode Island. I'm here to urge you to increase the skate limit as much as you can and think prudent. I brought some numbers here to try and give you an idea of what's going on in the skate wing fishery. I went through my logbooks the last few years to look at this movement from the Scotian shelf that the SSC has talked about when I went to their meeting, as well as this increase in the biomass in the medium size, which we all see and which any dealer will tell you is coming across the floors of their plants in great abundance. I found a few nets that I'd fished in roughly, or two of them actually, in exactly the same spot over the course of 3 years, and I thought I'd give you the skate wing totals or whole skate box totals from those sets, because I believe that the data we're looking at and what we're responding to reflects what was going on in this fishery in 2006 and 2007, not what's happening now. You know, as usual, the fishermen are looking at what is. The management processes are dealing with what was. In 2007, in this one spot, I fished the same net, same length, same gear, same thickness of twine. I had 5 boxes of skate while catching my monkfish over an 8-week period. The stock indeed did seem to be depressed in 2007. In 2008, with the same net, same spot, over the same 8-week period, I had 56 boxes of skate, a 10-fold increase, actually 11-fold. In 2009, the same net, same spot, I had 91 boxes of skate while fishing for monkfish. Most of us monkfishermen have been driven off the grounds because the skate are so thick, they're closing our nets, and we need to get away from them to try and catch skate. Another set I had, not too far away, but a different bottom. In 2007, I had 16.5 boxes of whole skate, which we cut into wings. In 2008, I had 68.5 in the same spot. In 2009, I had 86 boxes. This is what's going on with this fishery. What we're really dealing with here is, or what I'm wondering is, if we've learned anything from our management of dogfish, because skate are that abundant, there are that many of them. We have to deal with what is, and what is in the ocean is an enormous amount of skate, so much so that we can't get away from them. And the management system is ratcheting down effort at precisely a time when we ought to be throwing the doors wide open to deal with what's happening out there. And I have to take issue with the notion of a 50% discard rate. First of all, the idea that a dragger and a gillnet are going to have same discard rate is intuitively foolish. I just can't imagine scientifically that you'd think that would make sense, given the dramatically different harvest technique. And having thrown many, many skates overboard, and the mediums are quite easy to pull out. You don't hit them with a hammer. The large ones you have to hit with a hammer to get them out. They swim away quite aggressively and with a lot of force, and they're not dying, not 50% of them. And if you think about that discard mortality number being wrong, that plays right into the notion that there's more skate out there. And we see in our nets that this medium range that Steve Cadran talked about is there. We are catching an abundance of medium skates that have just hit the size where they're hitting our nets. Back in 06 and 07, they were going through them. In 08, they started hitting them. And if you talk to Walter Barrett from C-Trade, he'll tell you his floor is full of medium-sized skate. Fishermen used to throw them back because you didn't want to bring in all these mediums. But you're inundated with them now. So we bring them in. And C-Trade gets them, and everyone else gets them. And, you know, I brought these numbers to you to show you that we're dealing with anywhere from a 600 to 1,100% increase in what we're seeing with the same gear type in the same spot over a 3-year period. And the management system is now suggesting that we should reduce the landing limit by down to 25% of what it was. I think, you know, we need to think about the sanity of what we're doing and maybe just throw this all out and start a new amendment and leave the status quo, because What we're doing here is totally wrong.
Yes, sir.
I'm Walter Barrett from Sea Trade International. I think I just heard my name mentioned. The situation with skate processors, we're one of probably four large processors in New Bedford. We, many years ago, got restrictions put on dogfish and lost our market. And now that the dogfish quota seems to be increasing and data's coming in that dogfish are very abundant, we can't get that market back. We're not even sure that we're going to be able to handle or sell what the new quotas could wind up being. The flat market has totally been destroyed. I hope the same thing will not happen with skate. Not only did we lose the market in Europe on the dogfish, but we lost skilled help. Right now, there are approximately 500 people that I'm aware of working directly in the skate processing industry. This doesn't include, obviously, unloaders, boat captains, and crews. So I would only ask when you make your final decisions, and I know you have tough decisions to make based on scientific data, based on economics, that you please today decide, hopefully as of May 1st, to give us the maximum quota you feel you can give and still sustain the fishery. Thank you.
Hi, Andy Baylor, Nantucket Fish Company in Chatham. I'm a skate dealer. I'm just, I'll echo the last sentiment that was said that we see what's happened with dogfish. It's the same similar type of chondrichthyes, cartilaginous fish, and it seems when other stocks are at their lows, there are certain species that manage to incrementally increase their populations, and from what we're seeing in skates, that's exactly what we're going to see in the future. By reducing or keeping these trip limits and our possession limits as low as you're suggesting, it really doesn't matter if you keep that raise at 5,000 or 6,000 pound possession, because you're saying your discards are going down. You still have, when you hit an 80%, you still have a trigger mechanism that's going to drop you to 500 pounds. In the gillnet fleet in Chatham, which is how we catch our skates, we can't go out and figure out with this many strings and nets that we're going to have 32 pounds of skates or 4,700 pounds of skates. And if it's at 4,100 or 5,000, we hit that number, we come to the dock. But if we're throwing skates over, it doesn't make any sense. And if we have a point where we hit 80% of our landings, then you go to this reduced trip limit. So it just makes economic sense to go to a higher limit. It makes scientific sense. And that's really all I want to say is you're looking at a total possession limit. You don't talk much about the draggers over the last couple of years that would do 20,000 pounds over a trip. And do I stand corrected? These are strictly possession. There is no daily trip limit. It's possession. So it is a huge reduction. And I urge that instead of throwing more dead fish over, that we get value economically out of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Come back to the council. Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. in an effort to focus the discussion and move this forward, I would like to make a motion. I move that the council request that NIMS incorporate the new ABC numbers from the SSC into Amendment 3 and adjust the skate wing possession limit to 4,100 pounds for 2010-11.
Is there a second?
Seconded by Rodney. Discussion? Jimmy.
Yeah, I'd like to make offer a motion to amend that the trip limit should be 5,000 pounds. And my rationale is that
Jimmy, let me get a second. Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble.
My rationale is that following up on what Richie said, that half of some fleets are tying up is a fact. I mean, there's going to be less effort in on this. The idea that people can steam to Georgia's on a non-day at sea and catch just 5,000 pounds of skate and come back and make it pay is just can't happen. You can't get the fuel back. So I'm pretty confident that there'll be a lot less effort on this fisheries than we're thinking because of the sector management and people just tying up. And to me, there's not much risk in going to 5,000 because you still have the 80% trigger that will kick it down to 500 at some point. So that's the rationale for the motion.
Discussion on the motion to amend? Dave Gaither.
Question for Andy. There isn't a chart we have here. There isn't a 5,000 pound. There's 4,100 and 6,000. Can we do an interpolation of roughly, you know, halfway between them, or it doesn't work that way?
I think you can draw approximate conclusions from the two graphs that are in the report handout and also in the PDT paper. Your eye is about as good as mine is, which isn't very good. 5,000 pounds is about 18% mortality reduction and increases discards by about 3.5% of total catch.
Anyone else on the council on the motion to amend? Sally?
Yeah, a question for Andy. Can we just look at table 4 here for those numbers in your document number 4?
Yeah, there isn't a row in the handout. I forget what was in the PDT document for 5,000 pounds, but it's affects somewhere between 80 and 116 vessels, between 477 and 756 trips, and reduces gross annual revenue on those trips by about 10%.
Council members? Anything further on the motion to amend? Okay, you ready for the question on the motion to amend? All those in favor, raise your hand. Sixteen opposed. Abstentions. One abstention. Motion to amend carries 16-0. One abstention. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Going once, twice. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Sixteen opposed. Abstentions. One abstention. Main motion as amended carries 16-0 with one abstention. Terry, anything further under skate?
Andy, anything further?
I guess we need to initiate a specification process to change the 2011 and 12 specs.
I think the motion we just passed asked to set it for 2010-2011. So I think
we're all set.
I think we can cool our jets for a little bit. Anything further, Andy?
I think not if I follow what you say.
Paul?
The final rule hasn't been published yet, so it'll be changed in the final rule rather than an emergency action.
Okay, and I'd just like to take an opportunity to thank the SSC and Andy and the SCATE PDT members from the service as well for putting in extra effort to get the analysis done and get us back to a position where we could make this decision today. And hopefully it's all for the better. I think it is. We were looking at, a 1,900-pound possession limit. So, Gene.
Yeah, just to clarify on Paul's last statement, the agency will take this under consideration. It hasn't made a decision to change the final rule specs. I'm not saying we won't, but I'm just saying that that's still at the discretion of the agency in making its final determination on Amendment 3 and the proposed specs, just to be clear.
So thanks again for all the extra effort you all put in on this. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the red crab situation. 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 Get into the red crab situation.